This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Andrew Filippone. We're usually the PM team, but right now it's just P. Malsey is playing Oakmont again. I'm getting video sent of him tearing up the hardest golf course in America in a good way and putting on a proverbial show over there as part of their media day festivities leading up to the U.S. Open more than a month from now, Father's Day weekend. Donnie had, I think, a big speaking engagement today where he was schooling people on the state of sports media and sports broadcasting. So he's not here. So it's just me. And Austin is forced to stick around.
Hello, Pony.
Hi.
He will be here momentarily.
So are you just, you're my co-host for right now? Or what
for
is
right
this?
Now, apparently so, yeah.
All right.
How does that make you feel?
I mean, great. I mean, destroying you in an argument is easy. I could do that with two hands tied behind my back after getting kicked in the balls. So
wonderful. We haven't really had much of a chance to experience that other than you going at me for the who was going to be at the McAfee show event.
Well, weren't you getting murdered by texters all day too for horrible takes?
Wasn't well, not horrible takes. A Will Howard take that I had that I think is pretty true, pretty accurate.
I have something on Will Howard for later in the show. Bobby Carpenter, who played at Ohio State and was excellent there and is now ESPN personality, is going to join us at 3:30. Pirates have lost five straight. It's the longest active losing streak in baseball. It's May 6th, and the Pirates are 10 games out of first place already. So you're nursing your Cinco de Mayo tequila-induced hangover, and your baseball team is already double-digit games out of first place 6 years into a rebuild. One thing I like to do from time to time on this show is if there's something good from the day before that I thought was entertaining or interesting, carry it over. Keep it going. Keep the momentum going, if you will. And we had that at the end of the show yesterday. A guy called in. We were talking about the deplorable state of the Pirates. Dude calls in, and Austin already can't take the heat in the kitchen here. You're done?
There's Donnie.
All right.
If you'd like me to stick around a little bit longer, I can.
Well, you got something to say to me now? You want to call me out already?
No, I don't want to call you out.
Okay. So we had a caller at the end of yesterday's show who chimed in and said, you could take the management team in LA with the Dodgers, the team that won last year's World Series, and cut and paste them in Pittsburgh, blow out Ben Cherington, blow out Derek Shelton, replace them with Andrew Friedman, who runs the Dodgers, Dave Roberts, who's the manager, bring those guys here, and this team would still suck. That was his defeatist mentality or attitude. Pretty much saying it's only about the owner and it's only about the lack of money that they spend and the way they try to do things on a budget. And by the way, Donnie is here now. You all right, Don? How'd it go today?
Very good. I was the guest speaker for the Greensburg Rotary.
So
how do you feel about that?
Okay, so I got this wrong. I thought you were... I probably should listen to you when you talk better in the back.
Yeah, you probably should, but we know you don't.
So it was not like aspiring sports journalists. It was just a bunch of dudes who are Rotary members who wanted to have like a catered lunch and hear you wax poetic about how the Pirates suck and what the Steelers are going to do at quarterback?
I guess so.
Were those pretty much the two predominant topics, Aaron Rodgers, Will Howard, and the Pirates sucking ass?
Yeah, which I did joke about because I said once I started, I only have so much time to answer your questions about Aaron Rodgers, which got a little laugh from people. I mean, one of my best friends is on he's like a member, which he's like the youngest person by
what did they
at
feed
least
you?
A decade. It was like roasted turkey. We had like potatoes, like mashed potatoes.
Were people drinking beer other than you at about noon on a Tuesday?
No, I had an unsweetened tea and a water.
Well, I'm saying were other people there drinking?
No. I think All they had was the tea and lemonade.
All right. So you remember the guy who called in at the end of the show yesterday and got into it a little bit with Chris and I and said, you could take the people that run the Dodgers, bring them to Pittsburgh, and this team would still suck.
Yes, I remember that guy.
Did you agree with that?
No, I don't. I feel like that's like the A1 cop-out argument for Derek Shelton, which we've talked about this before. Yeah, he's not the biggest problem. He's definitely a problem, though. They act like you could bring anybody in here and those guys would suck. I mean, here's what I love to point out to people. Where was Neil Huntington's team 6 years in?
They were winning 94 games. Yeah. So we had that caller who said it wouldn't matter as long as Bob Nutting's here. And there was a column in the Trip today. Madden wrote a column. Mark's a really good writer and is clever many times. And the whole crux of the article was that you could fire Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton today and it changes nothing. The team is still going to be a joke. It's still going to be a laughingstock franchise. They're never going to be good. And that's the question that I wanted to ask you guys to start today's show. Would firing Ben Cherington and Shelton make a difference? Would you instantly feel better about the direction of the team if that's what happened? Is it one of those situations where if you fire Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton, it's the baseball equivalent of rearranging the chairs, the deck chairs on the Titanic, 412-928-9370? And I would have said, we'll open up the phone lines now on that, 412-928-9370. If we were having this conversation in 2011 and 2012, you couldn't help but feel that way. Whether the GM is Dave Littlefield, Ben Cherington, Sid Thrift, you name it, any Pirates front office executive from years past, the owner here to that point had not won anything. They'd never had a winning season. We've seen 3 years of baseball, 94, 88, 98 wins, where the Pirates did not spend a lot of money, and over a three-year period had the second most wins in all of baseball. In 2016, they were 26th in payroll. In 2014, they were 28th. In 2015, it ticked up a little bit to 23rd. It's hard. It ain't easy. But it's not impossible here. And it's not impossible around baseball. If you had a good GM and a good manager, the Pirates could absolutely be a winning team and a playoff contender. I don't say that with any equivocation whatsoever. Last year, two teams had payrolls under $100 million and made the playoffs. The Guardians, $94 million. They went to the ALCS. The Tigers had a payroll under $100 million. They went to the playoffs. So it happens every year. 2 years ago, the Orioles won 101 games. Their payroll was $68 million. It was lower than the Pirates. 2 years ago, the Rays won 99. Their payroll was 74. The Pirates' payroll right now is $90 million. I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you. I hope you can keep up. $68 million, $74 million. The Pirates are at $90 million right now. There are two teams that are in the same neighborhood as them, payroll-wise, this year, who have winning records. The A's are in second place without a home ballpark or city name at $75 million. And the Guardians, who came in here and kicked the Pirates' ass, swept them, are at $95 million. So it happens in other places. And it happened here once. yes, we'd love it if the Pirates, we'd all love it if they opened up the checkbook, if they said, we don't care if we make money or not, and they spent $130 million a year on players. That would be fantastic. That would be tremendous. That would be awesome. That would be excellent. It would be great for all of baseball if the owners came together and they got the player support too, and they put a payroll in so we wouldn't have to have these conversations. But we're dealing in reality right now, and the current circumstances are there is no salary cap, and the owner, despite what people chant at games or put on T-shirts or signs or billboards, is not going anywhere. So we might as well deal with that. I don't think we're going to push the guy out, and I don't think we're going to pressure Major League Baseball into instilling a salary cap. So can we win with this ownership here? Yes, it's happened. So I don't, as Chris said yesterday, I thought it was very well said, and right now he's striking golf balls and hitting them into church pew bunkers and whatnot, and hopefully he's tipping his caddy at Oakmont, which I'm sure he does. I'm sure he will, because he's a very generous man. I'm not going to give Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton the blanket the owner stinks excuse, because Neil Huntington and Clint Hurdle have the same owner, and they won 94, 88, and 98 games in three straight seasons. They never had a payroll that ranked better than 23rd in baseball, and in two of those years, it was in the bottom six. In the middle year there, 2014, it was the third lowest payroll in all of baseball. 2 years ago, the Orioles had a payroll of $68 million, the second lowest in baseball, and they won 101 games. Well, how do you do that? Because you stink for so many years in a row, you pick at the top of draft, and here's a novel concept. When you pick at the top of the draft, you get the best amateur players. And as long as you don't trip and fall on your own you-know-what, you should be able to develop those guys into pretty good players. Instead of what we've got, which is Nick Gonzalez with the top 10 pick, Henry Davis with the first overall pick. Pretty much every first-round pick not named Paul Skeens is underachieved in some way. So look, I mean, I categorically disagree with the Madden column and what the caller said yesterday. Yeah, we're not going to have a parade here, or we're not going to have an event where we give the owner of the baseball team a lifetime achievement award. But we've seen teams in similar situations where they spend the same or less as the Pirates win a lot of games, including what happened here not too long ago, although it's increasingly becoming longer and longer ago. 412-928-9370. So I'll just pose the question to you, and go ahead and disagree with me if you want. That's fine. Would firing Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton make a difference? Because there's definitely a thought out there now among some fans and some observers that it would not. You're still stuck in the same situation because the person at the very top of the organization isn't going anywhere. 412-928-9370. Pirates lost again last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Last night,
Here's a 2-2. Swinging a ball lined sharply to left. Pham back on this one. And there it goes. A line drive. Home run. Wilson Contreras homers. And the Cardinals lead 4-3 here in the sixth.
Cardinals and Pirates has been really hammer versus nail forever. This is supposed to be a rebuilding year for the Cardinals. Beat the Pirates last night, ahead of them in the standings. Pittsburgh on pace to lose 108 games. Pirates on pace to have their worst 162-game season of all time. In year six of a rebuild. The question we started today's show with is this. Even if the Pirates fire Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton and blow those guys out, do you think it will make a difference? Are you so pessimistic about this organization that you think whatever they do next will fail? 412-928-9370. Listen to Starkey and Pop tomorrow to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Ballsy's playing Oakmont today. Congratulations on all his success. Not only do we have this discussion about the Pirates' free fall in the standings, 10 games out, they've lost five in a row, longest losing streak right now in baseball. We now have another off-the-field incident where a Pirates employee took his belt off and started beating a man with it. Did you see this video, Don?
I did.
Now, to the Pirates...
The guy spit on him,
I was just going to say, to the Pirates employee, to not... I don't know I don't know the story besides the video. If I spit on another human being, my expectation should be this guy is about to try to kick my ass. Maybe he won't do it, but if I spit on you, I am inviting you to try to beat the crap out of me. And before this dude spit on the Pirates employee, I think it was an usher, the usher just, I don't know if you saw these, Donnie, but he was... haymaker after haymaker on this fan, and all the fans' friends are standing around watching it. I don't know who. Do you know where the video came from? Was it another fan who just said, oh, "I got to watch this and see how this ends"? Yeah, it's always this year. It's always been something. I mean, it's the year from hell. It's a nightmarish Murphy's Law season for the Pirates. Everything that could go wrong pretty much has gone wrong for the Pirates. The lone exception really being O'Neill Cruz, who made another fabulous play last night in center field. 412-928-9370. Let's start with Todd. He's on the fan. Hello, Todd.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Good. Yeah, you got to work with what you got, and Nutting's not going to open up his checkbook. And Cherington's been here 6 years. He's done nothing. And Shelton doesn't show any promise of that he has any competency, that he could develop players or do anything. I mean, I think you look at him the other side with the Penguins, not to bring the Penguins in. Mike Sullivan has been given nothing for the past 10 years to work with, except for Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, aging stars. And he's kept the Penguins competitive versus Shelton has done nothing. They don't develop any players. And they've done nothing. So to me, if you and I did this poor of a job at our jobs, we'd be fired by now. So I think they need to go, start over, bring in some creative young guys that might be able to do a better job than these guys, because clearly they haven't done anything. So
all right, Todd, I'm not sure you really answered the question. It sounded like you believe that if you bring in this young, hungry person, there is a chance they could turn it around and win here. I mean, Sullivan didn't make the playoffs the last 3 years. And it's a pretty big but or if to say, yeah, the Penguins, the GM there gave him nothing to work with but Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang, who are three slam dunk Hall of Famers, albeit with two of those guys not playing well anymore. But those guys were still very good players for the better part of the last half decade, and they haven't won a playoff game since 2018. But you're right. I don't know why we're talking Penguins right now. Here is Fake John and Robinson, who really seems to only call when Malzi's not here, which I'm sensing a trend or a pattern that I frankly like.
Well, you take more calls when Maldi's not here. So I think that's part of it as well. But I think this is a pretty interesting question, but I find some flaws in your particular argument, namely being, you know, the top talent management being on the field manager or GM, they're not going to come here and work for this guy. And also, nothing isn't going to pay what it takes for a Dave Roberts, you know, granted, he wasn't an established manager when he went to L.A., but an established guy to come in with sure. an established GM, he's not going to cut those checks.
Well, right, but let me give you a hypothetical situation. If the Pirates were to hire the top lieutenant assistant general manager from Cleveland, because right now they're like the best small market team of the last 3 or 4 years, and they hire that, or they want to hire that guy, you're telling me that person would not take the job here to be the boss?
I think they might turn it down based upon the success that Neil Huntington and Hurdle had, because what happened once they ended up winning? Nutting did nothing. He closed the checkbooks and said, this is good enough for me, and we're going to take the success that we had and basically just run it until it goes back into the ground. I think anybody who's up and coming is going to see that and say, there really is a, you know, a pretty short ceiling on how big I can build this thing up, and then I better get the hell out of Dodge.
John, by that logic, how do the Rays find GMs? Their payroll's lower than the Pirates every year. They've had, I think, winning seasons in 8 out of the last 10 years. How do they do it? There's never a promise or a guarantee of more money there because it never comes. Their payroll usually fluctuates between 70 and 90 million every year, which is lower than the Pirates.
Yeah, I think the answer there is probably more in the minutia that whoever's running their farm system actually knows what they're doing and isn't given carte blanche to, you know, get a director of dietary affairs in the Dominican Republic and say that's why you had to sign Tommy Pham, right? And the owner's just okay with that. There's some level
that's actually the argument you just made, I think, is a case for someone to come here. If the owner gets out of the way and allows for the GM to create positions like that for people that are nonsensical from the outside looking in, but he was given the latitude to do that, why wouldn't somebody who's, like the first caller said, someone who's never been a GM before is younger?
I think that's what has to, it's almost like a unicorn situation. You have to, because like we said, your established guys aren't going to come in, so you have to run into the perfect young manager, young GM situation that just hits perfectly, are paid low enough that they're okay with coming in that way. We have to hope that nothing doesn't, you know, or gives them enough raises or extensions to keep them here, and that, you know, everything just comes together perfectly for there to be any sustained success.
Thanks for the call, but I have to disagree with that too, though, because Ben Cherington came here. The Pirates' current GM is a World Series winning GM. Now, his results after winning that World Series in Boston, not very good. But they did find a quote-unquote established guy who came through the Theo Epstein tree of baseball front office decision makers to become the Pirates' GM. There's only 30 of these jobs, and they're super coveted. Because so many kids now, so many people go to college and go to school dreaming of running a baseball team. So I think you have certain guys who might be more selective than others. But even given the payroll restraints and questions about the owner, like, I think the field of candidates to replace Ben Cherington would be incredible. I mean, if the owner had made a better call or a better decision, they would have hired the guy who is now the Brewers general manager instead of Cherington. Stearns is top aide there. He was a finalist for this job. And look at what the Brewers did last year. They won the division going away with a small payroll. Well, not super small, but not in the middle of the pack either.
The winner of the 2025 NHL Draft Lottery and the first overall selection in the 2025 Upper Deck NHL Draft belongs to the New York Islanders.
Penguins have the 11th pick now in the 2025 NHL Draft. If you just went by reverse order of finish, the Penguins would have selected 9th. The Islanders had worse odds than the Penguins to get the number one pick, and they defied the odds and will pick number one. Conspiracy theories abound that the NHL took an all-star game, I guess, away from the Islanders, and this is a make-good for that. Those things happen whenever New York teams win draft lotteries like Patrick Ewing in the NBA 40 years ago. The Penguins pick 11th. Donnie, the NFL draft and NHL draft are very different. You pick a guy 11th in the NFL draft, you assume you're going to get a very good player for a pretty long time, although see Bush, Devin, who went 10th overall to the Steelers as an example of when that doesn't work.
Well, they drafted a guy named Ben Roethlisberger 11th overall.
There you go. Thank you for that. You had a homework assignment to find the last NHL player selected 11th overall who turned into an all-star. How far back did you have to go?
2014. Now, here's the thing that I just had Charlie in here, and I was asking him about it, because now, like, we notice that sometimes guys will participate in all-star stuff, and they may get the accolade, but then you pull up, like, their
hockey reference,
and they're not listed as an all-star. So Kevin Fiala was part of the all-star game in 22 and 23, and he had a good year. Mm-hmm. Had 72 points in 69 games.
So this is, he went 11th in 2014.
Yes, Nashville picked him 11th overall.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't say that he was an all-star, like, on his page. So I went back a couple of more years. I only had to go back two more years. Philip Forsberg was 11th overall in 2012.
Sounds like another Predators pick.
So actually Washington picked him.
Oh, Washington took him. He got traded. I don't know how I forgot that. All right, so more than a decade is the last time somebody went 11th overall.
Yeah, there are a lot of
names an
all-star that I've never heard of.
Who did the Coyotes take with the 11th pick one year?
Forfeited.
Did you get to the bottom of why that
No,
was?
I have to read more into that one.
Okay. Rangers pick 11th, Mike Sullivan's new team. That could be the Penguins pick, but the scuttlebutt is the Rangers are going to keep that pick now and give the Penguins their 2026th first-round pick because the Rangers assume they're going to be a better team next year. Hockey talk. Off-season still a ways away because the Stanley Cup playoffs are only in the second round. And we also had Kyle Dubas come out and say he doesn't expect to name a coach until June. Yippee. 412-928-9370. Pirates have lost 5 in a row. Longest active losing streak in baseball. They're 10 games out of first place. There was a column in the Trib today, Double M wrote it, about how it doesn't matter if you fire Cherington and you fire Shelton, nothing changes. They're still going to be a crappy baseball team. The new guys won't do any better. I'm not convinced of that. I do think firing Cherington and Shelton makes a difference because their predecessors won here. Now, they didn't win a World Series. They didn't win an NL Central crown. They only advanced as far as the divisional round of the playoffs. But for 3 years, they were absolutely one of the best teams in baseball. And we would all sign up for that right now. 94, 88, and 98. That's objectively outstanding. Hurdle won Manager of the Year. I think Baseball America voted the Pirates the Organization of the Year a couple times in there, too. For a short period, they were like the A's or the Rays or the Guardians. They were a small market team that had cracked the code and started to win. So why can't the next guys who come in here do that? 412-928-9370. Coming up later this hour, you're going to hear what John Gruden said about Will Howard. I have a crazy Will Howard stat that I dug up and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is true. We'll share that coming up a little bit later on in the show. Here is Steve in Butler. Hello, Steve.
Yes, I agree with everything you said about the Pirates. Whether they change the manager, management, will it make a difference? Who knows? Who knows? But at least it'll give the fans something to think about. But I maybe somebody already suggested this. I have no idea. Make the players responsible. Maybe we can make, like, whether Cruz doesn't have the I don't the maybe knowledge or whatever, but like Reynolds, put a C on their shirt and be the captain. A young one of their young players, obviously Schemes probably hasn't been there long enough, but you know, we'll make somebody like responsible and say, see, hey, this guy is the McCutcheon's who.
Yeah, I mean, players have to hold players accountable. A.J. Burnett did that when he was here. Yeah, I mean, that has to, that if it's not happening, then again, though, that's, to me, that's an indictment on the manager. Like, the manager should allow for, I think Clint Hurdle had this leadership trust where he would meet with a couple of guys once a month, and he would allow for them to take player complaints to him, and he would decide whether they were valid or not, and some of them he would, you know, he would take into account, and he would change things as a result, and other things would go in one ear and out the other. But, you know, to me, when you have to do that, though, like put a C on a guy's jersey because the accountability isn't there, like why are you paying a manager $2 million, or it's actually less than that with Shelton, $1.5 million. Why are you paying him more than $1 million to manage 162 games if he can't demand the players' respect? I don't think the players respect Shelton. I don't think the players particularly like Shelton.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.